The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing. Keep getting us your Packers Gladiators as we celebrate the release of Gladiator 2 this weekend. We asked you who on the current team you think would best represent the Packers in a battle of all NFL teams. We've got some suggestions. They are on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter page. You can vote on that. And then we were talking about all time, and holy moly, the all-time one got a lot of reaction. Ray Nischke, that from Michael in the 262. Julius Peppers, that's a great answer from David in the 262. Chuck Cecil, whose game I was not familiar with. Chuck Cecil, Chew, would he be a good gladiator?
Oh, yeah. I played with Chuck for 1 year. Yeah, he was the guy always bloodied up, would never wipe the blood away. He was a missile. Chuck was great.
Tough. Chip and a number of people saying the Gravedigger. So obviously Gilbert Brown getting a lot of love on the talk and text line. Brady Papinga getting a surprising number of votes on the talk and text line, including our friend Dumpy in West Bend. And then somebody said, you need someone with brains and brawn to win the Gladiator. It's a game of chess, not checkers. My vote is for Malik Willis. Overlooked, dismissed, flies under the radar, but always comes through when you need him. He would be the perfect hero for the gladiator role. What do we think? Malik Willis? I didn't give him a single stitch of consideration.
And I would continue not to. Although, he's building himself into quite a folk hero. Always comes through when you need him.
Yeah, it's getting to like the Sam Congato level, like Packers folk heroes, you know. Who are some of the other folk heroes? Well, John Kuhn, obviously.
Yeah, Kuhn.
Atari Bigby.
Atari Bigby's a big one too, yes. That's
Big Stick.
2007, month of December, NFC Player of the Month to you, Josh. Atari Bigby.
Never forget.
Yep.
Yeah, but aren't those guys always on bad teams?
Typically, yeah. Like Sam Congato lives because that season was so terrible. Yes. He was the only thing worth remembering from that season.
And he had such a great story, and everybody loved that he eventually went on to become a doctor. Reggie White is getting some love. Obviously, he was the first person that we said for the all-time gladiator, that from Jamie in Orlando. And then a lot of people who are saying, don't be Debbie Downers. Don't take that money out of someone's pocket. They're playing driveway rules when it comes to the bucket, the Potawatomi bucket. So even if it bounced off the top
of
the backboard.
Who's got a shot clock in their driveway? Like the top of the backboard's game. That when it hits off the shot clock.
Great rebuttal by you.
That's where I've got some questions.
I'm not pro taking money from anyone in any scenario. I'm just saying makes it a little interesting. There's a little extra nugget. I think if they give it to him, they are in their right. I would say it's the right thing to do. But if they said, hey, that doesn't count because that wouldn't count to the game,
you get it.
Them's the rules.
All
right. That's weak.
Moving on.
You're weak.
ESPN.com released an article this week about what has gone right and what has gone wrong for each of the play callers in the NFL. Of course, Matt LaFleur is the play caller for the Green Bay Packers. Chu, what do you think has gone right for Matt LaFleur, the play caller, this year? If you looked at his body of work this season, and we just talked about Malik Willis, hand to God, I still think the job that he and the offensive crew did, putting Malik Willis under center and being able to win those games in the absence of Jordan Love, I still think should be his highest accomplishment, highest achievement in the season thus far. What for you is something that Matt LaFleur has done well in 2024 with the offense?
I would agree with you there. I mean, those game plans put together were perfect. They worked. And let's remember how bad it was when they traded for him. What NFL personnel and executives are playing. This guy can't play football. The harsh criticism like that. And the guy goes out and wins two big games, you know, and we didn't think it was going to happen. So that's his best accomplishment. I mean, his best game plan was probably the Cardinals game where they seemed to put a complete game together. And I was talking to Joshy during the break. I would love to get a peek after the game, obviously, of his first 15s. And then just see how deep he got into each one of them. Because you never get to 15. That doesn't happen. But I remember days of getting to 9. you know, 9 on that call sheet, and I also remember getting to 2 on that call sheet.
Is it safe to say the further you get in your scripted 15, the better things are going?
Yes. It plays out just how you thought it would. But I would want to look at it from the standpoint of, is he spreading the wealth or is he targeting guys? Because how it worked back, and it's goofy how it worked, because, you know, you do it the night before the game, you look at the first 15, and it always played out. Where I had maybe 5 targets in the first 15, I would catch 0 balls, right? And then there would be first 15s where I have 1 target, and I'd be like, this game plan sucks. And I'd catch 3 balls in the first 15. So it's kind of goofy how it works, but I'd love to see his thinking of, like, okay, who's your number one target? Dobbs? And then does it go to Tucker Kraft? And then who it goes to there? Or is he spreading it across the board? 2 for here, 2 for here, 2 for here, 2 for here. Because normally how it breaks down, you have 10 passes and probably 5 runs.
So I'm going to play off of that, too. I'm going to play off of what you just said and say that Matt LaFleur's ability to keep that wide receiver room, to keep the pass catcher's room in check, to keep the guys, I know Romeo Dobbs had that blip where he was disappointed. No, hear me out, because obviously that blipped and that's going to happen, but he was able to handle it. They were able to subside it, get things back rolling. This past game, as we talked about, didn't have the ball a lot. Time of possession was in favor of the Bears, so your pass catchers are not getting a lot. There were under a dozen, what was it, like under 10 or something like that, targets for the pass catchers, and I'm including the tight ends, obviously, so that's why I'm not saying wide receivers. But his ability to keep those guys knowing that, yes, it's not ideal, but yes, we are going to win games, and if you just stick with what we're calling and stick with the game plan and don't get frustrated or, you know, become difficult, it's all going to work out. I think that is something that Matt LaFleur has done well. Gabe, what do you think Matt LaFleur has done well when it comes to play calling this year?
Sticking with the run. I can't tell you the last time the Packers were this high up in rushing attempts and rushing yards. And how many times do we hear coaches, and LaFleur has said this in the past, yeah, I gave up on the run too quick. Gave up on the run too quick. We need to run the football more. Well, they've stuck with that. And when you have Josh Jacobs, who's been healthy, I think that's easier. They are 6th this year in rushing attempts and 4th in yards. Again, I don't know if they've been that since Amon Green was here 20 years ago. You know, like that's the last time they were probably this dedicated to the run. And that was a really good team back in 2003 when he ran for, you know, 1,800 yards. So I think that's one thing that he has done really well, because ultimately what he wants to do is get those play action passes, and it's easier to do it when you stick with the run the way he has. I mean, the best that they've done under LaFleur, 12th in attempts, 8th in yards in 2020. So this is light years ahead of what that is.
And to your point, that's why even being able to keep those wide receivers from being disgruntled is an accomplishment. Because if that is the game plan, we are going to stick with the run. We have a weapon in Josh Jacobs. That means that there are only so many snaps to go around. That means that the pass catchers are only going to get a smaller percentage of the snaps, and you have a lot of them. There is no number one that has emerged. So I'm telling you guys, while the play calling is one thing, the ability to keep those guys in check, to keep them from being disgruntled with their respective roles, to understand that they're not going to get as many snaps, they're not going to get as many targets as they have in previous years, that is an accomplishment, and that speaks to his coaching ability, too.
It does, but where you got to ding them, you have to ding them on third down conversion.
Yep, and that's sure. And red zone.
You know, that was the next thing I was going to ask you, so way to go.
Zone. So When I look at this, the team stat sheets, you know, some of the first places I go is third down conversion. That'll tell a story on how long you're holding on. And that usually works hand in hand with time of possession. If you're getting first downs and you're converting on those third downs, you're eating up clock. So those kind of go hand in hand. And then the red zone. See, the problem, Jen, is I know you got to keep that receiver room happy, but guys got to emerge. You know, guys have to emerge, and how you emerge is targeting individual players. You know, it's great to spread the ball around, but the problem is on third down, you want to go to the hot hand. You want to go to your best guy. You want to have one-on-one matchups. You want to force them to double team a guy, which opens it up for someone else. And I just don't think he's doing a great job of targeting players. It's like basketball, you know, clear out for Dame, Dame, do your thing. Win the game. Do that. They don't do that. They're like, all right, let's stay here. And whoever scores, scores.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, Chew, because that play
on the stat sheets, but it doesn't always work out.
That play that we saw where Christian Watson was double teamed and Jordan went to him, I think we all saw that Tucker Kraft was wide open. Now, it wouldn't have been as big of a completion, but he was uncovered, right, along the sideline.
Yeah.
Is that on Matt LaFleur? Do you think that play called for the ball to go to Tucker Kraft and Jordan just saw Watson down there, you know, and he had the double coverage and he was like, bleep it, like I told you, bucket. And so is that on Matt LaFleur?
It's on Matt LaFleur if Matt LaFleur doesn't go to him after the game in the film study and say, be careful. Be careful. I get what you're thinking. We were stale. We needed a big play. You needed someone to come up with a play like that, and that's why you did it. But don't make that a habit. And I just want to – it's like running backs. You know how I tell you, the way I've been coached throughout the years is never tell a running back where to go. Suggest the possibility of maybe seeing that, but the vantage point of a running back is so much different than seeing it the eye in the sky, right? So you can suggest but don't tell, and that's kind of what you do with Jordan because you don't want him just dinking and dunking all day long. And I think at that point in the game where they were very stale, you roll the dice like that.
Yeah, so he's trying to kind of, you know, give him a pop, right?
Spark him, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Gabe, go ahead.
When we talk about the consistency, though, of the team, like those are the two things we have to talk about. And that's on Matt LaFleur. He's got to fix it. Third down conversions, they're 22nd.
Yep.
They've gotten better. They're no longer 29th in the red zone. They're now 27th in the red zone. That's horrific. It's bad. You take a look at the teams
that
you want to chase.
Percentage, right?
Touchdown percentage, yep. Yes. So when you take a look at the teams you're chasing, when you take a look at the Detroit Lions, the gold standard right now in the NFC, they're 6th and 4th in those two. They're really good in those situations.
They don't waste opportunities.
They don't waste those opportunities. So if you want more opportunities for the wide receivers,
yeah.
If we want more opportunities for Tucker Kraft, if we want more consistency out of the offense, they have to do a better job. To me, it starts on third down. Starts on third down. Because they've got all these explosive plays, which is great. You want those. But you still need the consistency on third down to extend drives.
Well, let me go one step further, Chew, though, because according to this article on ESPN.com, and I'm sure it's correct, of Love's 11 interceptions, 7 of them have been on first or second down. So now the only way you get to third down is to not turn the ball over on first. You know what I'm saying? First and second down, give your team an opportunity on third down. How do we continue to cut down on that? Is that play calling? Is Matt LaFleur having to be conscious of on first and second down, making sure that Jordan has a safety valve?
Well, this is how plays are designed, Jen, okay? Because sometimes you guess wrong, right? I mean, you can look at all the analytics you want, and you can call a play for man, but if they wind up in zone, right? If they wind up in zone, there's probably one guy there to defeat zone. The rest is there to defeat man-to-man, whether you're running crossing routes or rub routes or things like that. I don't know if Jordan isn't recognizing that this is man and it's really not a great call for man. You got to immediately go to the zone guy because it's built in. And it's same in the reverse. You know, you call a play for zone, they're in man. There's usually one guy there that's like, if it's man, you go to this guy. So I don't know if LaFleur is guessing wrong when it comes to man zone or Jordan isn't recognizing quick enough what they're doing defensively, because there's automatic built-ins for every play. If as a head coach you guess wrong, is that clear?
Yeah, 100%.
Did I make that? Okay.
Yeah, I think you explained that
just
well.
Just as simple as that. But the red zone, man, they just our philosophy back in the day is if we're throwing the ball from the 18-yard line, we're trying to take a shot at the end zone. Right? We're trying to take a shot at the end zone. Which I don't really know if they're doing. If they're just... But that was our philosophy. Shots, down the field. Go. Mix in a little
Everybody.
Run and shot.
So Gabe and I looked at each other. I thought for sure he was going to do it as well.
Thought he had at least one more shot in there.
Yes, of course.
And then I was going to yell everybody. Just a little off on our timing. Like
we're
the Packers
idiots.
In the red zone.
Exactly. So according to Rob Domofsky's article, and you can check that out, it is a compilation, right? You guys, if you're interested in the strengths and weaknesses of every play caller in the NFL, I highly recommend it. It is on ESPN.com. But according to Rob Domofsky, for Matt LaFleur, what has gone right is the building of the offense around the run. To Gabe's point, sticking with the run. Talks about where they rank in the league as Gabe did. What has gone wrong is finding a way to put Jordan Love in a position to succeed on early downs, first and second downs, where he has thrown those 11 interceptions. His key to the second half, guys, is that LaFleur needs to find something that works in the red zone. Packers ranking 27th in the touchdown percentage when inside the 20 this season, guys. So, interesting stuff there. Good stuff breaking down by you guys. I appreciate it. Let's talk about my friends over at Professional Construction Inc. in Waukesha. You guys know that my husband and I are not the most handy people. We can handle some things around our house, but when it comes to big projects like refinishing our basement, we need professional assistance, and that's why we go with Professional Construction Inc. They helped us redo our basement. It has turned into a great family space, a space where Chase and his buddies can watch shows, play video games, and not be worried about interrupting some of the other family happenings and goings on. And if you find yourself in that position, maybe you're thinking about building a new home or a home addition or a remodeling project, I cannot recommend the folks at PCI high enough. Go to their website to see some of the jobs they have done and get ideas for what they could do for you. It's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com, ProfessionalConstructionInc.com, and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Turkey.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
All right, so Packers 49ers always feels like a big game, and I think, Chew, a big reason for that is because, well, Mike Holmgren came from San Francisco, always made it feel like a big game for you. So what I have in front of me, a list of 8 things, you guys will guess back and forth until you each get one incorrect. I am looking for, since 1992 when Holmgren arrived, so since 1992... the top 8 Packers receiving yards leaders versus the 49ers.
You got a lot of prepositions there. What is it?
Since 1992, top 8 Packers receiving yards leaders versus San Francisco.
Oh, boy. Mm. Top receivers.
In yards.
Yards, not touchdowns.
Correct. This
versus
is yards.
Versus San Fran.
Yep.
Holy moly. All right, I'm going to say Devontae Adams.
He's number one on the list.
Yes.
480 receiving yards in 4 career games against the Niners.
I can't guarantee you that I'm going to offer much more than that.
I don't know if I am. Let's go with Hulu Duck.
Hulu Duck, Antonio Freeman, number 2 on the list. 453 receiving yards in 5 career games against the Niners.
Greg Jennings.
332 receiving yards is number 4 on the list.
I'm just trying to think of all the times we played them. Let's go with Dankalank.
Who's Dankalank?
Have I used that one before?
You have, but I forget.
Robert Brooks.
Scrolling. 48 career receiving yards for
Robert Brooks. That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Well, because he got hurt famously in against
the
Niners.
Yeah, I know
in
that game,
96.
And then Biebs went in. But we still played him a lot.
Yeah.
I'm out, Jen.
I'm going to say Donald Driver.
Donald Driver's number 3 on the list, 356.
Double D.
Receiving yards, and he has the most games of any player on this list. 8 times Donald Driver played against the Niners in his Packers career.
What was his tenure? How long did he play? Like,
He played for 99 to 2012.
Wow.
So 13 years.
Wow, that's incredible.
14 years. So we've got the top 4, Devontae, Antonio Freeman, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings.
Jordy Nelson?
Jordy Nelson's number 5 on the list, 230 career receiving yards against San Francisco.
Reset the list one more time, please.
Adams, Freeman, Driver, Jennings, Nelson.
I guess, in that order. There's got to be somebody else from back in the day. He said since Holmgren, right? Under Holmgren?
Yeah. That we played in that one mud game where there wasn't a lot of balls thrown.
I mean, I'm just going to have to go with the... Go ahead. If you got one from back in the day,
you know
I'll
what?
Take it.
Go with... Go with the guy from the game where Robert was out.
This is compelling radio.
I don't know what that is.
White Lightning.
I don't know what that is.
There's think of two white.
Just say the name for the love
He's
of
out,
God.
Though. He's out.
There's two white wide receivers.
I'm gonna go with James Jones.
James Jones, 209 receiving yards, is number 9.
So close.
On the list.
800-990-3776. Line them up, Joshy. We need callers to play top 8 at 8 for our list. Gabe, just one more time. Can you please
Since 1992, the top 8 Packers receiving leaders against the 49ers.
And we got some good ones.
Yeah. You guys got...
No, you went farther than I thought. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, I thought that you guys had a chance. I thought you would have a real opportunity to get 6. If Chewy was on his game, I thought you might get 7.
800-990-3776. Need contestants to play our top 8 at 8 games. We're looking for the top 8 receivers in yards against San Francisco since Mike Holmgren. What was the year you used?
1992.
Chewy, there's got to be somebody else. Maybe...
I mean, he gave you a pretty good one.
I don't know what those clues were.
It's a really good clue. Really good clue.
Like Hulu Duck?
Yeah, it was Free's nickname.
I didn't know that.
He said it 1,000 times.
I wasn't listening. Brian in Hale's Corner. You hang out with Chewy long enough, it just sort of happens. Brian in Hale's Corner, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I'm going to go with Jordy Nelson.
So Jordy Nelson already correctly guessed. So you'll get another one. I'll reset the list quickly for you. We have the top 5. We need the bottom 3. Devontae Adams is 1. Antonio Freeman is 2. Donald Driver is 3. Greg Jennings is 4. Jordy Nelson, 5. He had 230 career receiving yards against the Niners.
I'll try Sterling Sharp. Go way back.
Sterling Sharp, scrolling. I don't know if Sharp, since 92, played against the 49ers. I don't think you guys played him.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did under Holmgren, so that would be incorrect. Yeah.
Zach in Milwaukee, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
What about Robert Ferguson?
Robert Ferguson... Scrolling, yeah, I'm not quite sure. Robert Ferguson, 21 career receiving yards. That is incorrect.
Let's go out to Sean in West Bend. Sean, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
How about Chewy?
Mark Shimura. Unfortunately, Chewy, doesn't look like you had too many good games against the Niners. You had 25 career receiving yards against the Niners.
Let's go out to Kevin in Chicago. Kevin, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Bill Schrader?
Billy Schrader had 81 career receiving yards, number 14 on the list. Yeah. That's incorrect.
Let's go out to Ryan in Mequon. Ryan, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Can I get what's already on the table?
Devontae Adams is 1, Antonio Freeman 2, Driver 3, Greg Jennings 4, Jordy Nelson 5. We need 6, 7, and 8.
Don Beebe?
Don Beebe, in his one game against the San Francisco 49ers, had 220 receiving yards. He is number 8 on the list.
He had one
game.
That's
White Lightning.
He had one game.
That's all it took.
Apparently.
That's all it took.
And a lot of those, again, the big chunk play, thanks to Chewy.
Ryan, would you like to go again?
Yeah, sure. Let's try it again. Javon Walker.
Wow.
Javon Walker.
What a blast
Walker.
From the past. I haven't thought about Javon Walker in years.
Number 7.
Yeah.
He is not
number 7.
Darn it.
He is not. He's not in the top. Javon Walker, he's number 16, 72 career receiving yards.
Andy in Grafton, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Yeah, it can be any player, right? Like at any position?
Yeah, any position.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amon Green?
Amon Green is going to be incorrect.
Darn it! Andy thought he was thinking outside the box, and he was going to get us on that one.
Yeah, Amon Green had 38 career receiving yards against the 49ers.
Matt Muskego, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Sorry, what name did you say there?
Matt in Muskego.
Jermichael Finley.
Jermichael Finley, 157 career receiving yards, number 10 on the list. Still incorrect. Again, we have Devontae Adams, 1, Antonio Freeman, 2, Donald Driver, 3, Greg Jennings, 4, Jordy Nelson, 5, and Don Beebe is number 8.
Is one of these people a colleague of mine now?
Yeah.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to the dumpster. Dumpy in West Bend, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete the top 8 at 8 list?
Has anybody guessed the mailman yet? Sterling Sharp?
Sterling Sharp was incorrectly guessed. He actually, since 1992, did not play against the 49ers.
So you can guess again, Dumpy.
Okay, anybody guess Randall Cobb yet?
Randall Cobb is number 6 on the list, 229 career receiving yards, leaving us with just number 7.
Randall Cobb, who works at ESPN now on the SEC Network.
I did not know that.
Do you have our number 7?
Let's go with Bubba Franks.
Scrubby Bubby.
Scrubby Bubby.
95 career receiving yards, incorrect.
I thought for sure Dumpy was going to finish this list. Yeah. Let's go out to Steve in Heartland. Steve, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It sounds like we only have one spot left.
One left.
Steve, can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Robert Brooks.
Robert Brooks incorrectly guessed by Chewy. So you get another shot at it if you want. This was always going to be the hardest one. Okay, I guess he doesn't want to.
He doesn't want
to
go again. Is this IDK? I don't know.
I forgot this person's first name, but they're from Fort Atkinson.
Hey,
and they're the only
person,
one to call from Fort Atkinson.
Human from Fort Atkinson. You're on with Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. What's your name?
It's all good, Josh. The name's Matt.
Matt. All right, Matt. Can you complete
Matt.
Our top 8 at 8 list?
Yeah, we'll see. Bill, how about Bill Schrader?
Billy Schrader incorrectly guessed already, so you get another one if you'd like.
Oh. How about a Terry Glenn?
Terry Glenn, incorrect. 46 career receiving yards in the one game he played.
Hold on. Terry Glenn played for the Packers?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You're dead.
Had
the
one
Patriots
season.
Terry Glenn.
Correct. That Terry uh-huh. Glenn that you played against in the Super Bowl.
And Cowboys too, right?
Yeah, that uh-huh. stopped with the Cowboys.
Holy moly. Wow. Okay, Andrew and Franklin is up next, waiting patiently on the line. Andrew, can you complete this top 8 at 8 list?
I don't think I can. The last two guesses were the ones that I had.
Well,
Terry Glenn and...
Throw a name out there. Baby. Throw a name out
oh,
there.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Oh, no. That's incorrect.
You fit right in.
That's incorrect.
That's not a name. I mean, I have called people.
It's like Cher.
it's not a name. Michael and Pewaukee.
Prince.
Michael and Pewaukee, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Please don't curse on the air.
How about Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones. Scrolling, 35 career receiving yards against the Niners, 29th on the list.
So you said you always knew this was going to be the hard one?
Yep.
All right, well, it's living up to its reputation.
Yeah.
Andy and Grafton, you're next. What's your guess?
Ravel Martin.
Oh, okay. My God.
Yeah, Ravel Martin. 42 career receiving yards. Again, we're thinking way too hard about this.
Yeah?
Way too hard.
Is it from Chewy's era?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Brian somewhere. Brian, can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Brian from Valders. I'm going to say Edgar Bennett.
Edgar Bennett is incorrect.
All right, we're going to have to start rapid firing this bad boy here, guys, because we're not any closer. Justin and Cudahy, you're next. What's your guess? Justin? Bye-bye.
Seems like we
Guy
lost
Guy in Staten Island, you're next. What's your guess?
James Lofton.
Since 1992.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chewy, forget about it.
Forget about it. Hey, you know Frankie?
Yeah, bag of donuts.
He's devolving quickly.
Teddy and Brown Deer, what's your guess?
James Jones.
James Jones. Already incorrectly
you
guessed.
You want to give us another one?
Starks? Irwin.
Yeah, James Starks is incorrect.
Let's see. Steve in Milwaukee. What's your guess?
How about Alan Lazard?
Alan Lazard's getting warmer, but he's only got 49 career receiving yards.
All righty. Let's go out to David in Pewaukee. What's your guess?
What about the tight end Cook?
That's going to be incorrect. Good guess. Yeah, good guess, but incorrect. Jared Cook.
It's going to be like one of those guys that Aaron Rodgers really loved that didn't get kept up.
Sounds like Lazard was hot.
That's
yeah.
what he said.
Lazard was.
Colin in Heartland, what's your guess?
About James Jones.
Already guessed. Guess again.
Oh, and Alan Lazard was close. Yikes. I don't know. Jeff Janis.
Again, I was saying
incorrect.
That's
again,
so fair.
Just trying to throw out some ideas here. Is it somebody who's still playing in the league somewhere else?
Yes.
Okay, that'll help. Nick in Milwaukee, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What's your guess?
Well, I was going to guess Christian Watson, but I guess that's wrong.
Okay, so guess something else.
That's all I got.
Goodbye. Phil in Heartland, what's your guess?
Come on, Phil. Phil?
Maybe it's Will.
Will?
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 Oh, not there.
If you're in Heartland, hello.
Bark twice if you're in Heartland. Eli in Washington, you're up next. What's your guess?
Romeo Dobbs.
Incorrect.
God bless America. Zach, we don't even care where you're from at this point. Zach, what's your guess?
How about Marquez Valdez?
Marquez Valdez!
There you go.
222 career receiving yards against the
49ers. Hey, let's have a moment for Joshy back there, who was like Inspector Gadget with
sweating.
The boppity-bop and the phones and the lines and the hang-ups and the good job.
I want to just shout out Zach. Thank you for saying that.
Gotta make him sweat every once in a while back
there. At one point,
there.
He's like, I don't know where this person is from. I don't know what their first name is. I don't know. Zach has no town. But, Zach, we appreciate you completing our top 8-8 list. So, MVS, how many games did he play
Four.
In the Packers-Niners rivalry?
Four.
And how many yards?
222.
Sheesh. Yeah, that's a decent number there. What a good list. What a fun list, except for Josh. It's fun for everybody else.
Somebody get him a water. I want to make sure he's hydrated back there.
Oh, gosh. I want to tell you about my friends over at Accutrans. It's a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. Look, the weather outside is frightful, and sometimes you don't want to be the one doing the driving. So let Accutrans do the driving for you. You got a company party coming up. You got other holiday festivities coming up, and you don't want to be driving. Accutrans will handle it. Go to their website, AccutransGroup.com. There you can get a quote and you can book a reservation today. You know what those big days are going to be. You got plans for New Year's Eve? Let Accutrans handle the driving. For safe and reliable transportation, I only use the Accutrans Group at AccutransGroup.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos
Burma?
The
that
last 2 weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
At the beginning of the show to get us your Gladiator suggestions, Gladiator 2 coming out, and of course, we asked you who on the current Packers team would be the best representative in a all-NFL Gladiator fight. That is on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. You can vote on that. But before we reveal the results of that, we wanted to get to Chewy's idea about, let's play Commodus here. Commodus, of course, was, I believe, the emperor in the Gladiator movie. And we got a lot of decisions ahead of us as far as whether or not the Packers should extend these players, keep these players on the roster going forward at the end of the season. So, Chewy, very quickly, we're going to go around with each of these. Give us one reason why or why not we should thumbs up or thumbs down the following players to remain members of the Green Bay Packers after this season. We begin, Chewy, Commodus, with Christian Watson.
Thumbs up.
Okay. You're supposed to also show me your thumbs up.
Yeah.
Why would you thumbs up Christian Watson?
Oh. If the money's right, I like him. He could be a number two. I don't think he's ever going to be a number one, but he has value to him as long as the money is right.
Thumbs up for me. He has a lot of potential that hopefully he still has the chance to grow into coming out of South Dakota State.
I'm a thumbs up as well. I think the growth you've seen from him has been impressive. And Jason wrote that great article on him just a few days ago. If you haven't read it yet, go ahead and read that. But it talks about just like the way he has approached coming back from the injuries, being a team player, all of that is good stuff. I'm a thumbs up for Watson as a deep threat that not a lot of other teams have. Let's go to Dobbs, Romeo Dobbs, Chew. Thumbs up or thumbs down, Commodus?
I'm thumbs down. Thumbs down. He's nothing better than a three. I think you can. He's easily replaceable. I don't like what he did early in the season. I am a thumbs down.
I'm a thumbs up, although that could change if anything starts to bubble for the rest of the season. If he shows, again, he's had a couple of games with not a lot of catches, any sort of malcontent again, you can't keep him around.
I'm a thumbs down right now. I think that you can get younger and maybe less potential for disgruntled going forward. I'm all for someone evolving and somebody figuring out some of the things that have challenged them. But at this point, I think with the draft, you could go out and get a wide receiver who I think could fill his role. Let's go to Quay Walker, Chew. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs down, no fifth-year option. The question is, do you keep him around for one more year? He is what he is. I mean, he had the issues early with pushing coaches and, you know, getting thrown out of games. I don't like him at all. I'd get rid of him. Thumbs down.
I'm a thumbs up. I mean, Goody's not going to, get rid of a guy on the last year of a rookie deal. Even if his snap count goes down, they'll find some sort of use for his athleticism.
I am a thumbs up as well. I don't know why I am obsessed with turning Quay Walker into the player that I believe he can be at the NFL level. Maybe it's him playing on those Georgia Bulldog teams and those defenses being so tough. I still think the athleticism is something that you just can't find anywhere, everywhere. I would like for his football IQ, his acumen to increase. Maybe another year with Jeff Hafley does that. So I'm with Gabe. I would keep him, but...
Oh, no. No fifth-year option.
Short leash.
Yeah, no fifth-year option, right?
Can we take away the green dot?
Yes. I mean, I want to do that this week.
Yeah. Yesterday.
Yes, thank you. Wyatt, Devontae Wyatt, Chew.
I'm thumbs up. Give him one more year. See if he can develop. I mean, he did get better. He's got to get a lot better in order for this defensive line to be what they need it to be. So I would give him one more year.
Thumbs up. I'm not giving the fifth-year option, but thumbs up. Keep him around. He's been one of your best defensive linemen. I think he can be a good rotational guy. You're not getting rid of him.
Yeah, I'm a thumbs up on that. I think there is potential there. You can't rebuild the whole dang defense, right? You have to kind of pick and choose, and at that position, I would like to keep Devontae Wyatt for another year. Josh Jacobs, this feels like a no-brainer. Are we all thumbs-upping on the Josh Jacobs based on what
thumbs
we've seen?
Up.
Thumbs
Easy.
Up, thumbs up on Josh
yep.
Jacobs. Okay, Rashawn Gary. Yep. Chew.
Gabe, what's the hit?
$25 million.
That's the hit. They can't spread that out.
So they could. So yeah, the cap hit is $25 million. The dead cap is actually like $40,000 more. If they post June 1 him, they can spread that over 2 years.
This is just. This is three pitches right down the middle, a swing and a miss at every single one. You're kind of hamstrung. I guess you have to keep him. I don't know what you do.
Yeah,
you gotta keep him.
I'm thumbs up and hope that he can maybe recapture some old form. Just because, like, it's not worth the savings that you're going to get. You're not going to be able to go, oh, we'll spread that over 2 years and save $13 million next year and go get a replacement. You're not going to get a replacement for Rashawn Gary for $13 million.
I guess I would rather thumbs down. Honestly, I know you guys are talking about the financial implications, but right now, guys, he's just a warm body.
Yeah.
He finally beat someone this week, though.
I saw that.
He finally beat someone.
End of the game,
five
right?
pressures, Woo. Baby.
Kenny Clark is next, Commodus Chew.
Gabe, money?
It's a lot. Yeah. They just gave him a big extension.
You got to keep him. I mean, I guess he's a rotational guy, but this is a position. I don't know how you upgrade through the draft, free agency, but it's kind of a train wreck. And this is a trending towards another swing and a miss by Goody?
So the cap hit is $20 million. The dead cap is 26, but you, yeah. Yeah, post June 1, I guess you could do and save, you know, save yourself $10 million. I'm probably post June 1 ing Kenny Clark. Like, he's, Christian really? Watson had more tackles than him against the Chicago Bears.
I'm going to keep it moving here, guys. Go to the other side of the ball. Let's go to Josh Myers, too.
I think he played pretty well this year. Yeah, I would keep him. I like him. I love the offensive line. You know what? When you know the O-line is good.
You don't talk about
him? When you don't talk about him. Bring back Myers.
Revelatory.
I'm going to go thumbs down on Myers. And maybe I should be a thumbs up because clearly they didn't have a really good plan for the one game he missed.
Right.
And that was detrimental
that was
to
times,
them.
Yep.
But I think they should be able to find a center in the third or fourth
Bad
round.
Bad snaps when they slid him over.
They also
all right,
drafted one.
Yeah. Did not play when they needed him to.
Has not. He has a it's cold water allergy.
That's right. Monk?
It was only 50 degrees.
Uh-huh.
I understand it was raining.
All
but...
right, let's go to Van Ness, too. Van Ness, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I think I know what he is, but, you know, he's cheap right now. He's a guy. You bring him back, I guess. He's not costing you a lot of money, so
yeah.
You bring him back.
If Josiah DeGuara sticks around for 4 years, I think Lucas Van Ness will stick around for 4 years.
Maybe we can make him a field goal block specialist.
Ooh,
he's pretty big.
That'd be
and
sick.
And last but not least, guys, Jair Alexander. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Commodus Chu.
Thumbs down. Doesn't play hurt. You got to play hurt throughout the season. No, I've seen enough of him. He can go bye-bye.
This is crazy town. And I'm not
saying
you're
wrong.
You're
going to pay him $26 million a year? You know the guy's going to be looking for an extension.
The rest of it is so bad.
Thank you, yes.
That I think I have to be thumbs up because the rest of it is so bad.
So we talked about it this morning. NFL Next Gen Stats says Stokes is allowing a 113.7 passer rating when he's been targeted. Nixon is allowing a 113.9. Valentine is allowing a 97.3. And Alexander a 77.6. Those are the passer ratings of the quarterbacks when they target those defensive backs.
I have to be a thumbs up. I'll ride it for one more year. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm riding it one more year.
So, Gary Clark, you didn't learn from whatsoever.
Well, I'm not giving him more money. I'm riding him on his current
deal. You're going to have to. He's going to want an extension.
Sure, he's got
That's
2 years.
That's his personality.
He's got 2 more years left on this contract.
2 more years after this?
Yes.
Or this year and one more?
2 more after this. He's under contract through 25 and 26.
All right, then keep them. I changed my mind.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Finish up the show right after this. But guys, have you checked out St. Kate the Arts Hotel yet? It's the holiday season, and they do all sorts of special events to get you in the festive mood. They've got a spectacular brunch with Santa, which the kids will love, the holiday marketplace, one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experiences, and of course, you can always extend your stay by booking an overnight at St. Kate. They've got special packages now available. Celebrate the holidays with St. Kate. Learn more by visiting their website, stkatearts.com/holidays. That is stkatearts.com/holidays.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like, I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot? Okay.
I'm calling old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Tucker Kraft absolutely running away with, dominating, destroying the competition in our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Which current Green Bay Packer would you send to a gladiator-style battle of all NFL teams? Tucker Kraft with 72% of the vote. And one of our loyal listeners writing in saying, y'all know that the thumbs down was actually good and the thumbs up was bad, right? Chewy, according to Google, a thumbs up was portrayed as a good sign in the movie Gladiator, meaning the emperor would spare the gladiator's life. However, historically, a thumbs up in ancient Rome signified death, making this a historical inaccuracy in the movie Gladiator.
The person who texts that deserves a wedgie. Dork.
But they were right. The movie Gladiator did it wrong. I don't know. You learned something.
Are you not entertained?
Well, now I'm deaf. Have a great one, everybody. Will Nantosch is next.